Slater. You are listening to the Drew Marshall Show. Thank you for tuning in. We just had a great session with Dion Taylor performing live in studio. Up shortly, Aspen Baker. She's the author of Pro Voice, How to Keep Listening When the World Wants a Fight. We're going to make some random phone calls in just a few minutes to people in the community and ask them what they think about abortion.
Yeah, and I'm sure that's just not going to stir up any emotions or responses.
Who are we going to call first, Megs? Megs is texting somebody while we're saying, let's make some random phone calls.
Well, she was randomly texting people.
Which is worse, an intern falling asleep during the show or texting somebody during the show?
No, falling asleep because then they really are not ready.
Sorry, we're not interesting enough.
Oh, you text during the show, too.
It's my show!
Oh, yeah.
It's my show.
Thank you, Seinfeld.
It wasn't a pick! I was on the outside!
There's no penetration!
Okay, Meg's the intern, ladies and gentlemen.
Well, this is Meg's sort of first day on her own, so
it is.
She's doing good.
Should we cut her some slack?
Nah. No, you need to.
Why?
She's a lovely young lady.
What if she was an ugly young lady?
Then we'd really beat on her.
There we go. Okay, so you should be able to hear it in your other headphone.
Thank you for calling the Burlington location of Holland Park Garden Gallery.
Okay.
Our store hours are Monday to Saturday, 9 a.m. until
push
6
zero.
p.m. and Sundays, 10 a.m. until... Please hold on while I try that extension.
I wonder if this will be offensive to people.
Probably.
Let's hope they're open.
Well, it said that
we should have heard their hours.
Holland Park, how can I help you?
Oh, hi. How are you?
Good. How's it going?
Pretty well. Look, my name is Drew Marshall. Do I sound like I have a radio voice?
A little bit, yeah.
Thank you. That's because I'm actually a radio guy. You're on the air live on the Drew Marshall Show. Did I freak you out?
A little bit.
Yeah. It's not even a joke. It's real. We're just calling random places, and we're asking what we think is probably the most awkward question to ask anybody. Are you ready?
Okay.
No, seriously, you ready?
Sure.
Okay. What do you think about abortion?
I think it's a complicated subject, for sure.
Ooh,
I think
everybody
should be entitled to their own decision on that one.
Right. So would you ever consider doing it, do you think?
I think it would depend on the scenario.
That's a very good answer. I thought most people would shut us down and go, I'm not talking about that.
Are you related to a politician?
Yeah, you sound very middle of the road, like a very acceptable answer.
Well, yeah, I guess.
Yeah. Well, listen, I don't want to embarrass you too much longer. Well, to be honest, you gave a great answer. I was hoping for more of an embarrassing answer.
Yeah, for stuttering and stopping and I don't want to talk.
You kind of bored us, really, with your greatness. Sorry.
I'm
so sorry. Well, listen, have a great weekend.
You too.
Yeah,
thank you.
Okay, bye.
See ya.
Bye. Man, that's not how it's supposed to go.
Wow. She sounded young, so maybe she's got more of that middle-of-the-road
vibe. Megs, can you find some people that are freak out, please? Jeez. What's the point of having an intern?
Yeah, to yell at and stuff.
Do you think that's pretty much the coached PC answer, though, don't you think?
Depending on who you talk to, there are people who will be very, very
one way or the other.
To me, she sounded young, and I think that played a big part in it.
So if you're old...
When you're older, I think people have a more of a distinct response one way or the other.
Oh, it's a funeral home. We're calling a funeral home. Who calls funeral homes?
You do.
This funeral home, Victoria speaking.
Oh, hi. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. How are you doing?
I'm well. My name is Drew Marshall. Do I sound like I have a radio voice?
You do.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Is that because you do?
I do, and you're actually live on the Drew Marshall Show. Isn't that weird?
That is strange.
I know. So crazy. Well, we're just calling a couple of random people in the community, and we're asking them what we think is probably the most awkward question anybody can ever ask anybody. Are you ready?
Well, you're really catching me off guard.
I know. That's the whole point.
You work at a funeral home. You're probably used to awkward.
Yes, you're so used to awkward. You work at a funeral home. Okay, so here's the question. What do you think about abortion?
Oh, my goodness. I do not feel comfortable answering that question.
Yeah? It's just a little too awkward for you?
Yeah.
Do you think it's the most controversial subject?
I think there's a wide range of controversial subjects.
Yeah, but is that at the top? Yeah?
Yeah. It's definitely up there.
Yeah. Well, no, that's kind of the answer we thought we'd get from a lot of people is, not sure I want to talk about it, right? Especially live on the radio. You may talk about it amongst your friends, do you?
No.
No, you don't even talk about it amongst your friends. Wow. Well, I don't mean to embarrass you. I just wanted to ask you a really awkward question. That's it.
Okay.
Good to talk to me.
All right,
bye.
Have a good day. Bye now.
She just fecal-mattered the bed.
Yes. Maybe it was one of those things where, you know, our calls are recorded for training purposes. Maybe she knew she was being recorded.
That would be good. We should call Bell Canada and ask.
Yeah. I'm having a problem with my phone. And what do you think about...
What do you think about abortion? Well, I can tell you that is not very acceptable.
Oh, jeez.
Come on, it's Bell Canada.
It is.
Not calling Canada.
The outsource.
All right, one more call. And the reason we're asking this question, random phone calls into the community, Megs will let Tim know when it's ringing, is because our next guest on the show is going to help us dialogue a little better when it comes to the subject of abortion. Her name is Aspen Baker, and she's the author of Pro-Voice, How to Keep Listening When the World Wants a Fight. She's also the founder and executive director of Exhale. So she's up next on the show.
Vicky speaking. How can I help you?
Oh, hi. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm well. My name's Drew, and do I sound like I have a radio voice?
Yes, you do, actually.
Thank you. Thank you. That's because I am a radio guy. You're actually on the air on the Drew Marshall Show. We're making some random phone calls. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you.
Good. I won't be long. What we're doing is we're just calling a few places and asking what we think is the most awkward question anybody can ask anybody. Are you ready?
Sure.
Okay, here we go. What do you think about abortion?
What do I think? I don't know.
You don't know?
It depends on the circumstance, actually.
Right. So, do you mean like if someone gets raped, then it's okay to do it?
Yeah.
Hmm. Any other situations that you think it's okay?
No.
So the rest of the time you think it's not a good idea?
No, my daughter's pro-life, so I'd have to say no.
Because your daughter's pro-life?
Yeah.
Interesting. Okay, so, but hold on, just because, wait. Usually it's the other way around.
Yeah.
You know, my parents, I grew up in this household, so therefore I am. But your daughter's pro-life,
yep.
And so she sort of convinced you or talked to you about this?
No, but, you know, she makes a good argument. She's a smart kid.
That is the most interesting response.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you've been quite a pleasure to speak with. Thank you.
Thank you, too. Thank you very much. You have a wonderful afternoon.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Can I just say that experiment failed?
Yeah.
I wanted people to hang up and to, who are you
yeah.
to call, and you're a male and you can't talk about this. And
you really don't have a radio voice. And
yeah. And that is not. Oh, man. Well, who do we blame for the failure of that segment, Tim?
Megs.
Megs the intern!
Yeah!
Failure! All right, a short break. We'll be right back. Ladies and gentlemen, Maurice White, founder of Earth, Wind & Fire, just died. That's probably not a good death announcement, is it? Let's groove tonight.
No, I figured if we were going to be talking about abortion, you have to start by getting pregnant, so this is kind of a thematic
really?
Introduction. Yeah.
This is a getting it on song?
Yeah, for sure.
Let's get it on. Well, we tried a little social experiment before going to that break. We called some random people. What do we call? Florists and funeral homes. Oh, my.
Yes.
And we asked them, whoever answered the phone, what do you think about abortion? I would have thought we got a lot of people who would say, I don't want to talk about it.
I can't speak right now.
And they'd hang up or get offended or whatever. Only one person. See, this is Canada, though. I forgot, right? People
right.
are like,
yeah.
They apologize before they hang up. we didn't get hang-ups or nothing. We had one girl said, I don't want to talk about it. Like Bobcat.
Yeah.
What's his name?
Goldthwait.
Yep.
He's great.
And the other
on,
two ladies said very respectful, nice, politically correct, middle-of-the-road stuff.
Yes, they did.
They could run for the Liberal Party.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought we would do that before we spoke with Aspen Baker. She's the author of Pro Voice, How to Keep Listening When the World Wants a Fight, founder and executive director of Exhale. I was at the gym, and I clicked on my TED app for TED Talks. And I
What do you do that you can listen to a TED Talk when you're working out? Do you just sit
well,
there?
What do you think? It's just Earth, Wind, and Fire all the time?
No, but
my
I think 5 pound
weights?
No, but if you're like curling and bench pressing, you're going to be grunting and groaning. You won't hear much
really,
of the conversation.
Really? Grunting and groaning?
I do.
Okay. I'm not touching that. Anyway, I guess I didn't watch. I listened. It's an audio feature. I listened to Aspen's talk, and I thought, oh, man, that's the first abortion person I've wanted to interview. Aspen Baker is an abortion person is probably not the best title for her. Aspen Baker is the leading voice in the nation on how to transform the abortion conflict. She gave the first TED Talk on abortion at TED Women 2015. She was a finalist for the 2014 Express NGen Leadership Awards. I have no idea what I'm talking about here. Was called a fun, fearless female. By Cosmopolitan in 2013. You could be called worse by Cosmopolitan. She was awarded the, you know what, there's all these things. She's got a bunch of awards. She's really good at what she does. She talks and people pay her. Ladies and gentlemen, Aspen Baker, live on the Drew Marshall Show. Aspen, what's going on?
Hi.
Were your parents hippies? That's the first thing I want to know. Aspen, did they listen to a lot of John Denver? Come on.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. There's also a John Denver song called Aspen Glow, and I make my husband play that at Christmas now. Thanks to my parents.
You are a cruel and heartless woman.
Well, my parents were not hippies in the political sense, but grew up in Orange County around Disneyland. My mom went to Catholic school. My dad was raised Methodist, and they became beach bums, basically. They were surfers. So they moved down to San Diego to be near the beach, and I was born at home in a trailer, and my dad worked at a surf shop, and my mom sold smoothies. Like,
wait,
that's more California than that.
Wow.
That's unbelievable. The only thing that could have made that story better, is if you said, and my dad one time when he was in the trailer, he came out of the trailer with his video camera, because he saw a full-on double rainbow, man.
He didn't talk like that, but I will say the doctor that delivered me, his name was Dr. Butcher. And then my sister was born 2 years later, also at home, and her doctor was named Dr. Repair. So I don't
know.
No. Wow.
No. It's all true. It's all true.
You know, up near me, we've got a funeral home called Butcher Funeral Home. Have you not seen the video, Full-On Double Rainbow? Do you know what I'm talking about?
I have no idea.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Okay, can you Google that,
yes,
Tim,
sir.
Please? Find the short version. So, Aspen, I watched this this TED Talk. I had a very cool response to it. I want to know what kind of response you've gotten. Have you had people from the pro-choice people go, rah-rah, we want you on our team, and then people from the pro-life, rah-rah, we want you on our team. Have either of them tried to bribe you with cold, hard cash into their camp?
Here is one thing that I've learned about both camps, is that there's a lot of diversity in either side. So I think the way the abortion debate gets framed is in these very black and white terms, and it's very simple, and each person in each camp has, you know, the exact same, you know, views and values and beliefs, and it's not really true. So there's a whole spectrum of people within the pro-life camp and a whole spectrum of people within the pro-choice camp, and so it's mixed. You know, there are certainly people on the pro-choice side who think I'm doing, you know, bad things for the case of abortion rights, that don't want me to talk about the emotions that people can have after an abortion, that don't want me to talk about feelings of regret or feelings of sadness, that's going to hurt the political cause.
Right.
But that's not everybody. There's lots of pro-choice people who think that's really important and who know that it's true from their own experience. And I think that's the same on the pro-life side, that there's a long history in the pro-life movement of women who've had abortions, who have felt sadness and regret and have developed a lot of support services that are rooted in, you know, Christian churches and Catholic churches, but they haven't always gotten support from their political leaders because they feel like it waters down the cause of talking about the life of the fetus and of the baby. So it's mixed on all sides, and I get lots of mixed reactions.
Wow. Wow. Have you had any scary responses? Because we hear about these things. I mean, you know, the extreme would be somebody shooting up people at an abortion clinic or something like that. Have you had any extreme reactions from people?
I have definitely spoken publicly at an event where there has been security and have, you know, learned where exits are.
But nobody's
those kinds of things.
Like, you don't have a white van driving past your house at 3 o'clock in the morning or anything like that.
Not that I'm aware of.
No. Okay. Well, that's good.
No. And there's, you know, like, weird things get said sometimes on the internet about me, and I know that happens, but I really try not to pay too much attention to it because it gets very distracting, and it's not helpful.
You know, I remember when I started the show 13 years ago, I would creep myself, and I would see what people said about me, and because I was very interested in that. And I have absolutely, you just get bored of it after a while. You just, and then you realize how narcissistic it is. I use that word too much, hey, Tim. I use that word so much.
Yeah, because you like talking and hearing yourself saying it.
Yeah, that's right. Anyway, let's move on to why I've got you on the show today, which has to do with the fact that in the last little while, I've had a couple of conversations with a couple of girls who have told me, one girl said to me in tears, you know, I did, a couple of weeks ago, I had an abortion. I didn't know who else to tell. I didn't know who else to talk to. There's nobody I can really talk to about it. And I'm busting inside. I've got to tell someone. I've got to talk about it. And it was a sad and weepy. And that's, believe it or not, that's the first time, I think maybe ever, someone has said to me that I have had an abortion.
Mm-hmm.
And then recently I had another conversation with somebody who said, bad situation, bad boyfriend, you know, cokehead, and, you know, already got a child, not doing well, and then went, and I'm pregnant. And he's and he's making me get an abortion.
Mm.
So a couple things came out of that one. One, you know, again, I just can't. Aspen, I can't, because I'm one of these people that I think, look, I'm a dumb male on the outside who doesn't have all the nuances of this conversation. But because my brain says that life starts at conception, I then go, so I can't go rah-rah. I can't say to the girl, you know, you go, girl. I can't say that. If it was a face-to-face conversation, she would be able to see sort of my face kind of go, oh, you know. Everything about my face would say, please don't do that. And I had to be careful. Well, forget it. I'm backing this up. I was going to say I had to be careful about what I said, because I didn't want to use manipulative phrasing that guilted her into not doing it. But I did it. Aspen, I did it. I'm not happy about the way I handled the conversation. I think I said, in some point of the conversation, I said something about killing her baby.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a jerk thing to do.
Yeah, my dad said that to me.
Oh. Okay, so that's what's been going on in my life. Help me.
Yeah.
Help me understand this from my point of view, but let's go right to your dad telling and your abortion. What went down for you?
Yeah, so I was raised Christian. I went to Christian schools and went to church and was raised to believe that abortion was wrong, and I believed it was wrong. And then I found myself pregnant. It was right after I'd graduated from college. I was 24. And so I thought, well, I'm going to have a baby, because that's what you do, and I'm against abortion. And I started talking to the guy about it, and he was pretty freaked out. And over the course of a few weeks, I really went back and forth between, you know, I'd wake up one day and I said, I'm going to be a mom, I'm going to make this work. And then the next day I'd wake up and I said, I'm going to have an abortion. You know, there's no way I want to, you know, be in this person's life for the rest of my life. And so I was pretty mixed up about it. And I had all, you know, lots of stories in my head from when I was a kid and what I remembered people said. And, you know, one of my really close friends in high school, I remember we were out surfing and she told me this story about how she was supposed to be aborted. And then her mom walked out of the abortion clinic. And so now she was here and she was my friend. So I was remembering all these stories was incredibly emotional and difficult to know what to do. And it was kind of like both options felt like not good ones. And, you know, I told my dad that I was going to have an abortion, and he was really mad and he was really upset and he said some pretty terrible things. And we got off the phone, and, you know, I had been very close with my dad. So even the fact that I would tell my dad that I was pregnant.
Yeah, that shows you were close with him.
Tells you a lot about what our relationship was. But he called me back the next day and he said, I couldn't sleep all night. I've been crying all night long. And I want you to know that I love you. And I want you to know that I will support you in whatever needs to happen.
Oh, wow.
And that made a really big difference. And so I think that...
Hold on. I have to stop you. You said it made a really big difference. So in other words, you felt supported and encouraged no matter what, so that freed you up to then get the abortion? Or what if your dad had continued in the you're disappointing me, my daughter phase or phraseology? Would that have said, well, then I just can't disappoint my dad, and then you wouldn't have done it?
It's so I can, you know, it's been about 15 years. I can look back. I can tell you what I think that I would do at the time. I don't know, but I was also a pretty independent person, and my dad and I had many tough conversations. And so I think that I probably would have had the abortion anyways, and I would have done it feeling disconnected from my dad, and I would have done it, you know, with not knowing if I could ever turn to him again in the future of my life when I was faced with hard things. So I don't think that his opinion would have swayed me either way, but it was a statement about what our relationship was going to be like for many years to come.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So this organization that you've started, Exhale, this book that you've written, Pro Voice, great title, by the way, How to Keep Listening When the World Wants a Fight. Basically, I mean, this is what I get out of it, and this is not very nuanced at all, but it sounds to me like you want women to have an authentically neutral community to be able to talk about their abortions.
Pretty good. I think that's true. When I needed to, after I had my abortion, and I felt like, did I do the wrong thing? You know, I was really grappling with that. And I honestly, to this day, I did the best that I could. It's hard at this point to say what is right or wrong, honestly. But I did the best that I could at the time, and I wanted to be able to talk to people about that.
Right.
And there was nothing that was offered on the pro-choice side. I think it was very that, like, yay, you got your abortion. You should now help other people get abortions, too. Oh. And on the pro-life side, there was lots of support available, but it was all very rooted in you did the wrong thing, and you need to seek forgiveness from God. And I felt like I didn't know if either of those things were true, and I really wanted the chance to make sense of it on my own, to create my own meaning around it. And so that's why we decided to start Exhale. In the beginning, it was a talk line. So it was a trained volunteers taking calls from women and men who had personal experiences of abortion. We didn't identify with either side in the political sphere, because we know that people who have abortions come from all walks of life and all different religious backgrounds and all different political views. And we wanted to be a safe place for everyone. And so that means, you know, we do talk to, you know, pro-life Catholics, and we do talk to pro-choice feminists, and we talk to people who are neither of those things, and people who are Catholic feminists, you know, it's not so much about each person's ideology when they're calling. They're calling to talk about what they experience. They're calling to figure out, you know, who they can talk to in their life about it, because I think the point that you made is that this is often a secret. You had never heard someone say, I had an abortion, to you before.
Yeah.
And that's the case. So it's incredibly common in the U.S. that 1 in 3 women will have an abortion in their life.
Tim, can you believe that? Doesn't that mess with your head?
That 1 in 3, I know. I guess my opinion and such has changed on it over the years, but that stat caught me completely off guard.
Well, because it's high. It's crazy high, you think.
Yeah. It caught me off guard. Yes.
Is it crazy high because you're pro-life?
No, it's crazy high because
if you're pro-choice, it's not crazy high.
No, I think it's just because I'm a dumb man, and I just didn't think it was that, I don't want to say big a deal. That's not the right set of words, but I didn't think it was that big, I guess. I just don't understand.
Sorry, Aspen, that's Tim the Tool. Tim really isn't that important in our show. Once in a while, we let him talk. So.
But it's not because he's a dumb man, because I've talked to, you know, PhD Stanford professors, you know, feminists who are surprised by that fact, who question whether or not that's a real statistic. And I think it doesn't speak to anyone being stupid. It speaks to the fact that abortion is commonly discussed as a political issue, and it is a moral issue. It is rarely, rarely, rarely discussed as a personal issue. Thing that someone has lived through and experienced. We can fight about it, but that personal sharing, and so in our minds, it allows us to make this group really small, and it allows us to put a lot of stereotypes on who this group of people are and what they're like and the decisions. And because we're not sort of hearing the people in our lives saying that this is something that they've gone through. So that's why I think it feels like such a dissonance.
Yeah, and I think what I was trying to say, like the dumb male thing, is I think there is a significant fact that as a man, that's probably just something you would never, ever consider. And it isn't, but it isn't you. It's never going to be about you if there's a situation of abortion. And I think my stating that being a dumb man.
Okay, yeah, but this, now we're into the, okay, I'm not sure I want to go this part of the conversation because, you know, I knocked up my girlfriend.
Yep.
And we decided to get married. And I would have felt that I see this. Oh, man. Right now I'm into, did I have a say or not?
And no, I'm not saying that you don't have a say. I'm just saying we would never have to think about it because it would never be you or I that actually has to physically deal with the experience.
No, I get it. I get it. Yeah. I'm just saying you're a little kumbaya.
We hear from about 8% of our callers every year from men. And so sometimes it's, you know, the father. It would be like, you know, my dad calling me like, wow, I just said all this stuff to my daughter and she's having an abortion. Now I need to figure out what I really need to do. So sometimes we get that family member who's calling, who's trying to figure it out. And sometimes we get the partner, the male partner, the husband, the boyfriend, the person who, you know, knocked her up. And sometimes that call is because they have a different emotional reaction, you know, so sometimes he's ready to be a dad and she's not. And it doesn't mean they don't love each other. It doesn't mean that they're not going to stay in relationship. It doesn't mean they might not get married one day in the future. But in that moment, it's sort of bringing up like, oh, man, I actually got kind of excited and she didn't. And I want to support her, but I'm now having these feelings that I need a place to kind of, to deal with them. So that can happen. Mm-hmm. And that question that you said, Drew, about, you know, the physicalness, I mean, that's something we hear, too. Like, I wish I could go through it for her. Like, I love her so much. I hate that she has to go through this. I wish I could be the one.
Right.
And
right.
So, you know, there's a lot there, and each relationship is different. But it is something that, you know, I think more men are talking about. And it's, you know, something that is, you know, these things happen in relationships.
Let me ask you, you know, you want women to have an authentically neutral community to be able to talk about their abortions. But is that is that actually possible? Because we're talking about whether someone believes that, you know, whether or not this is murder or a key contributor in the subjugation of women today, right? This is not neutral stuff. So aren't you just asking people to sort of pretend that it's neutral?
I think that's a great question, and I appreciate you asking it. I think that rarely these either ors, and that women who are having abortions come from all of those places too. So there are women who have abortions that do feel like they murder their baby, and there are women who've had abortions that feel like it was the most liberating thing they could have done in their life. So all of those political debates have like a real life experience, and what we hope to do is to not use those different experiences to draw a defining line, but to be able to be open and curious about what someone else has experienced.
Right.
And to say, you know, tell me more about how it, if you feel like you murdered your baby, tell me more. What do you need now? How can I can I help you? What would
so
you
good.
Like to change? You know, and the same can be said to someone who feels like it was liberating. Tell me more. What was that about? What was that like? And that learning is the thing that is missing in most of our conversations about abortion, that sense of like curiosity and a willingness to listen to what someone is saying is true for them. It doesn't have to be the defining end political game, that we can listen to someone just say what's true for them, and for them to feel heard, it's going to go a long way.
Yeah. I am so glad that you are. I could keep talking to you for such a long time, but let me just finish with this. You know, you've got tens of thousands of, there's a lot of Jesus people listening. I've got atheists who listen to the show. I've got Buddhists. I've got Hindus, Hare Krishna. I've got a variety of people listening to the show, but there's a lot of Jesus people, a lot of Christians. And, man, I got to be honest, the way my show rolls, a lot of evangelicals would have stopped listening by now. But for those that have remained, or those that are open, or those that are wondering and struggling, you know, you are sort of the, let's stop having all the things that are polarizing us polarize us. Let's create an authentically neutral community to talk about, to allow ladies to talk about their abortions. What do you want to say to the Jesus people right now?
Mm-hmm. I want to say that the the values that I learned as growing up Christian and the values that I learned in church was about not about finger pointing and shame and blame and sort of sitting on the sidelines and saying what's right or wrong, but about really being willing to step in to the difficult parts of life with love and caring and acceptance. And those are the values that I learned in my faith growing up, and those are the values that I have continued to try to embody in myself. And I think, you know, you can stay opposed to abortion, and at the same time, you can still show up and love and care for someone in your life that's had one. And there are ways to do that that are, I think, a lot more Christ-like.
Wow. Okay. You know, if you ever want to sell anything, like you've got keychains or frisbees or whatever, or you've got a speaking engagement you want to promote up in Canada, you have an open door on my show anytime. Aspen Baker, author of Pro Voice, How to Keep Listening When the World Wants a Fight, and founder and executive director of Exhale. The website is exhaleprovoice.org, exhaleprovoice.org, or Aspen's website is aspenbaker.com. She is a niece of John Denver. No, I don't know. Just
Thank you both so much. I would love to come back anytime you invite me.
Thank you, Aspen. Take care.
Bye.
Wow. That's the first. See, I didn't want to be the show that people tuned in and went, oh, it's another God show talking about abortion. And then, you know, I just didn't want to go there. So I've intentionally stayed away for two reasons. One, I didn't want to ever have anybody tune in here, you know, and just think, oh, I'm one of those shows.
Yeah.
And then two, I'm a male. And this is one of those subjects that I just feel like an idiot talking about. It's like me talking about Black History Month. Have you come to raise the dead?